morning. Get your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 3. One critical moment characterizes every Christian endeavor, the moment of crossing over from a sinner to a saint. Before that moment, a thing is something of anticipation and expectation. After that moment of crossing over, the same thing becomes a new beginning, an accomplishment, and finally a thing done. Just as a sanctuary may have a foyer, a symphony, an overture, a speech, an introduction, or a book, a foreword, there's a time of preparation and thing done itself. Unless our lives become permanently paralyzed by procrastination, anticipation, we must move to that actual thing done. A campaign should end in an election, an interview with a job, an engagement with a marriage, a gestational period with a birth. There comes a time, all waiting and to do the thing itself. When a jetliner reaches the runway speed of 120 miles an hour, the pilot can rotate the nose of the craft upward and commit to a takeoff. As the jet sprints down the runway, there comes a moment when a decision must be made of a commitment to take flight or abort the flight altogether. This crossover principle finds an interesting illustration in the life of God's Old Testament people. God intended Exodus from Egypt to act as a prelude to the entry into the promised land for the people of Israel. However, in the most famous period of procrastination in human history, the brief prelude became a 40-year-long detour into the desert. These people that were promised milk and honey in the promised land did not go immediately into the promised land after their exodus out of Egypt. What did they do? They procrastinated instead of crossing over. They procrastinated instead of going to where God had promised them. They procrastinated, and what did it cost them? It cost them a whole generation that died in the desert. For 40 years they wandered in the desert. For 40 years they took a detour to where God had promised them. An entire generation of Israelites disappeared into the sands until the moment came to cross over. Today's texts find God's people waiting for that moment after preparation of 40 years. They can no longer evade, avoid, step over, or step around the crisis of their history. It was time to cross over. Using the story of Joshua and the Israelites, people, as a backdrop, let's take a few minutes to discover what a commitment to cross over from a sinner to a saint requires from us today. Joshua chapter 3, if you'll stand with me, let's read the first 6 verses. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from this your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, Come not near it unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way hither before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you've given me this morning. I pray, God, that everyone here would listen closely to the words that I'm going to speak this morning. If anyone's here that's lost, that they may see their need for salvation. We pray, God, that you would bless this message. You would bless those that could not make it this morning. We pray for those that are sick, that are hurting, that have surgeries. We pray, God, that you would heal their bodies. And we pray, God, that you would restore us as a generation to come into the house of God today, to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ as we have strayed so far away from you in our times today. For in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
The first thing we see is a commitment to cross over requires this: a certainty of God's direction. Anytime that a lost person wants to cross over from a sinner to a saint, they must first know God's direction. And God's direction is to come and place your faith in Jesus Christ, the one that can save your soul, the only one that can be your sacrifice for your sins, the only one that can take the sin in your life away. When God's people cross over, they need a certain indication of God's leadership. Look in verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Now the 12 Hebrew tribes have camped on the far side of the Jordan River in anticipation of crossing over, for thousands of people to plunge into the overflowing river required a certainty of God's direction. The Hebrews had been desert-bound slaves. They had no experience with flooding rivers. They hadn't been that way before. No biblical image has captured the imagination of our generation as much as the Ark of the Covenant. Harrison Ford epitomized the mystic of the Ark as Indiana Jones in the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie. Most recently, other real-life searchers have traced the Ark to a supposed final destination in Ethiopia. What accounts for people's fascination with this ancient biblical object? I think it is the Ark stands for the presence and the leadership of God Himself. God stayed with His people through this Ark of the Covenant. This was what God represented to be His presence in the Old Testament. As they crossed over the Jordan River, they crossed over first the priests, the Levites, all of those that represented God. They crossed over first to give these people the direction to know how to cross over. Listen, a secular world that knows little of the ultimate reality has fastened its attention to the Ark as a manifestation of that presence of God. Yet the Ark was no magical object. Its leadership belonged to those willing to move forward in faith. We no longer follow a gold-encrusted box as the emblem of God's presence. Non-believers now have the written word of God and the unseen but nevertheless real presence of the Holy Spirit of God. No longer do these people, The lost of this world need a box to be saved. All they have to do is come to Jesus. Come willing to lay their life down. Lay their sin down. Lay their burdens down at the foot of the cross and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen, my friend, the only way a person can cross over from a sinner to a saint is by placing their trust in the one that can save them, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save them. He's the only one that can redeem them. He's the only one that can come into the life. In the presence of these realities, the lost should have an even greater sense of God's presence in their lives, calling them to cross over from a sinner to a saint. The Holy Spirit blows like a wind upon them, glows like a fire within them, and flows like a river through them. Mighty acts for God take place because of the certainty of that unseen but nevertheless real relationship. If we had time today, I could tell you true stories about men and women who cross over to the other side. Each one was moved by the Spirit of God to move out in faith and reach for something that seemed unattainable. They were willing to cross over by faith to fulfill God's call on their lives. Listen, every one of us that are Christians here today, at one point in our time, were lost in the filth and the sin of this world. Amen. We were lost, bound for hell. But what happened? We heard the call of the Holy Spirit. We felt that presence in our life. And we followed the Holy Spirit's guidance to cross over and to come to the altar and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Listen, my friend, each one of us have experienced that are here, that are children of God. Listen, as the priests were giving instruction to the people about to cross over Jordan, this is what they said in verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way hitherfore. The Israelites had never seen what rested before them. Not only did they face the Jordan at flood stage, but on the other side, they faced walled cities of fear, Canaanite fighters. Imagine what Joshua was asking them to do. Imagine what Joshua was asking them to face. They knew they could not do this without God's presence. They knew they could not cross over the Jordan without God's presence. The same is true for a Christian, for a lost person that wants to be a saint. They cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit's guidance and without placing their trust in Jesus Christ. You cannot cross over from a sinner to a saint without being convicted first of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit must work in your life. He must work and convince you that you need salvation and that you need Jesus in your life. Listen, my friend, nationally, economically, medically, vocationally, we can't know the future. We can't see all the way, no more than Israel could see the battles and victories before them that day when they were faced with the crossing over Jordan. But the ark went before them over the Jordan. It would go before them to Jericho and every other place, giving the assurance of God's victory. There comes the moment of fire. Some spend a lifetime making ready. Others spend their days taking aim. But the time comes to make the shot, to give your heart to Jesus. This is your time. Do it now. Don't wait another day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the accepted time. If you're here and you're lost, you need to come to Jesus. If you're a Christian that is straight from God, today's the day. You need to cross over and come back to Him. Listen, God is calling all of us to make a commitment to crossing over. This, my friend, is what God wants from all of us. Secondly, the assurance that we have of crossing over. The commitment to cross over requires an activity of personal consecration. In many parts of the developing world, aid workers have often struggled to get people clean, disease-free drinking water. Surprisingly, it hasn't always been easy. For a while, aid workers help people get clean water by digging wells. But by the time people got the water into their homes, it was often still contaminated. The next step involved adding a tiny bit of chlorine to the water, which keeps water free of germs for days. So aid workers started trying to get people to use chlorine. In Kenya today, you can buy little bottles of chlorine made just for the purifying water for pennies. Problem solved. Unfortunately, surveyors show that only a small percentage of people buy the chlorine, even though it's cheap and widely available. Listen, my friend, these people that have dirty cleaning water, dirty drinking water, refuse to do what would get that water clean, which was adding chlorine to the water. That's the same way a sinner refuses to come to Christ. Christ is available to all who will accept Him, but they refuse to come to Him. They refuse to do that tiny step of faith. They refuse to step out in faith and come to Jesus as He is calling them. They refuse to do what could get them into a place where they could be saved. So the next step to help rural areas get clean water involved putting chlorine right next to the spring or well. It's basically an upside down bottle with a dispenser that releases chlorine into containers people use to carry water. A tiny bit is enough for 20 liters of water. It's simple and it's free. But it turns out that only 40% of people who have access to dispensers actually use them. Some people don't like the taste of it. Some people don't believe it. The American aid workers sometimes don't use the dispenser either. One aid worker said this, "Sometimes you're in a rush and you're thinking about something else and you just don't do it. I have had malaria 5 times now. I have a bed net hanging above my bed, and I don't use it. What's the real problem?" The article zeroed in on one issue, human nature. Human nature is for us to remain in our sin. Human nature is for us to want to live for Satan. Human nature, this body of ours, this carnal spirit of ours, wants to stay in sin. But the Spirit is calling you. The Spirit is saying, come home. The Spirit is saying, come receive Jesus. The Spirit is saying, come and receive all the goodness that I have for you. But what is the problem? Our human nature keeps us from doing it. Just like these people would not add chlorine to the water to make it drinkable, many people will not come to Jesus because they love that sinful lifestyle so much. Listen, my friend, we need to realize that Jesus wants us to be saved. He wants us to put aside that human nature and accept Him as Lord and Savior. These people, In other words, people from Nairobi, Kenya to New York City often know what's right, but we don't do it. Many lost people know they need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. They just don't. Why don't they? Because their human nature is against it. Their human nature tells them they don't need Jesus. The human nature tells them, I don't need to be saved to get to heaven. TV shows today are saying everybody's going to get to heaven, regardless if you accept Jesus or not. The many people on television tell you it doesn't take a sacrifice of Jesus to save you. You can save yourself. Many religions are saying today that you can become gods by living good. That you'll not find that anywhere in the Bible. The Bible says the only sacrifice that we can offer to God that's a approved sacrifice for our sins is Jesus Christ. List interestingly, the NPR blog that reported this story was titled "A Surprising Barrier to Clean Water: Human Nature." These people did not ever get clean drinking water. Why? Because they refused to do the one thing that would solve the dirty water and make it clean enough for them to drink. Many lost people can avoid hell, but they don't because they refuse to accept the one thing that could save their soul. And that one thing is accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen, when it comes to purifying ourselves before God, we could call it human nature, but perhaps it would be better to be described as the sin nature. There's something within us that leads us to resist this, but purification is necessary in order to be a child of God. One great occasion is it is noteworthy that lost people take time for personal consecration. On the eve of the crossing over, Joshua commanded the people in Joshua 3:5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for today the Lord will do wonders among you. The word for purify describes what God is. He is holy, and He is wholly ours if we will just accept Him as Lord and Savior. This, my friend, is what we need to realize. Before a lost man can deal with God, they must realize they are approaching an absolute holiness, and the lost man must prepare themselves for the encounter by purifying their lives of sin. How do we do this? We get on our knees and we pray that God would cleanse us from all sin. We get on our knees and pray that God would take our sin away and that they would place them on Jesus Christ. In the sense they were in prep school days of spirituality, their physical cleansing stood for our greater spiritual cleansing. We have been cleansed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that we can approach God in boldness. But that doesn't mean we approach Him without care. We have to come to Him in prayer. We have to spend time cleansing ourselves spiritually so that we will not mistake His voice as He leads us into the future. The third thing I want to mention this morning, listen very carefully, my friend. The third thing I want to mention this morning is a dependency on divine intervention. When Israel crossed over Jordan, first the leaders and then the people stepped out into the river. They braved the unfamiliar future with nothing but the spoken promise of God. These former slaves have been desert bound for over 40 years. Think about that. They have been desert bound for 40 years, traveling in the desert for 40 years. And all of a sudden, Joshua leads them to the River Jordan to cross over to go into the promised land. What would we have thought if we had been traveling in the desert 40 years and God had been taking care of us? We'd probably want to stay in the desert for 40 years. We wouldn't want to face that river. We wouldn't want to face the Canaanites on the other side. We wouldn't want to face the battles that we had to face. We just want to stay comfortable in that desert. That's the way a lost person is. They're comfortable in their life. They're comfortable where they're at. They're comfortable being a sinner, living their life. They say this. They say, well, God has not punished me for being a lost person. I'm healthy. I've got all the money I could have. I've got everything I want. Why should I give my heart to Christ? Listen very carefully, my friend. The only thing you cannot buy in this world, the only thing that you cannot attain on your own, is eternal life.
Amen.
That only comes through Jesus Christ. That only comes through faith in Him. Listen, these former slaves had been in the desert for 40 years. The sandal-clad feet knew the seething, soaring heat of the desert sands. Now at the crest of the Jordan's annual flood, they step into the waters behind the Ark of God. Mothers clutch their babies. Wide-eyed children squeeze their father's hands. Old men hobble on their staffs. Young wives clutch their husband's arms. History has seen few moments here. We see the realization of what God had intended to do since the call of Abraham. It finally took place when a slave people depended on God and crossing over. History has changed shape because of that crossing over. When Alexander the Great, the Macedonian, crossed over Hellespont to invade Asia, the face of civilization changed forever. When Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon in his march to Rome, the direction of Roman history moved from republic to empire. When the Apostle Paul crossed over the Macedonian River from Asia to the direction of Christianity, moved west rather than the east. On July 6th, 1944, when the Allied invasion force crossed the English Channel, the most decisive invasion in history saved Western civilization. Our personal lives are a series of crossing overs. We must first leave home. We cross a line that changes life permanently. We may go back, but it's not the same. When we stand at the martial altar, we cross another line that alters life forever. When we join the armed services, change careers, move across the country, we may cross lines that shape life permanently thereafter. Churches also come to a moment of crossing over. The life and destiny of many a congregation comes down to a few critical decisions. Some choose to move forward in dependency on the intervention of God, and they know of glorious victory. Others come to the riverbank of their own particular Jordan and retreat. Behind those that retreated rest an inner desert of decline, a meaningless moment in mediocrity. The timid souls in such congregations opt for the safety of predictability and comfort rather than the advantage of crossing over with God. Listen, my friend, we all need to cross over. We all need to cross over and realize that God is our leader. God, Jesus Christ Himself, is the head of the church. We need to realize that we can't move forward without God's direction. We can't move forward without God's dependence. We can't move forward without God's intervention. We can't move forward without God working in our lives. And if you're lost here today, you cannot inherit eternal life unless you give your heart to Jesus. Listen, my friend, we need to understand today that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He came, gave His life as a ransom so that we might cross over this state of being lost, bound for hell. He came, hung on the cross, gave His life, shed His blood, so that we might be all that God would have us to be. In conclusion, thank God that we're building a church of people who are not timid, who are willing to reach out to God in prayer and faith and action. If you're lost here today, today is the day you need to cross over from a sinner to saint. Today is the day you can decide to cross over, to make a commitment to accept Christ, to let His church know that you're willing to do whatever it takes to become a disciple of Christ and start building His kingdom forever and forever. Listen, my friend, God is calling you today. If you're here and you're lost, God is pleading with you to come and give your heart to Jesus. He's telling you, you cannot make it without Christ. He's telling you, you cannot inherit heaven without Jesus. He's telling you that you cannot have a relationship with God without placing your trust in Jesus Christ. The problem is, our sinful nature, our human nature, says, you don't need salvation. You don't need that. Satan will tell you, you're all right just the way you are. You're all right, just keep living the way you are. But the Bible says that you must place your faith in Jesus Christ in order to inherit eternal life. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way to save your soul. Jesus is the only way to forgive you of your sins. Jesus is the only way to take that sin and remove it as far as the east is from the west. Listen, my friend, you can keep on doing what you're doing. You can keep on living in your sin. You can keep on going your own way, and you'll probably live a good long life. But the problem is, when you come to the end of your life, what's going to be your destination? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Listen, my friend, we're all going to be judged whether we accepted Christ or rejected Him. We're all going to be judged over where we were willing and made it a commitment to cross over from a sinner to a saint. We're all going to be judged on how we lived our life, whether we were to cross over in faith and build our lives on Jesus Christ, build our lives on the faith that we found in Jesus Christ. We're all going to be judged on what kind of commitment we made to Christ in our life to serve Him. Listen, my friend, you can keep living like you're living. You can keep doing what you're doing. But the eternal home you'll have if you keep on the road you're going is suffering an eternal separation from God in hell. Think about that as we close this message. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we had to come and bring Your word this morning. We pray, Father, that You would Take this message and plant it into the hearts and the lives of the people here, that though they may spread it into the community and tell people there's a time of crossing over that we all must make from a sinner to a saint if we ever hope to inherit our eternal home in heaven. Lord, lead us through this invitation. Convict those that need convicting. Help those that need helping. And forgive those that need forgiving. We pray, God, that you would bless this invitation as only you can through your Holy Spirit of conviction, and that he might draw those that need Jesus so desperately today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.